Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show with us today Dr. Donald L. Ewart, a research immunologist and virologist who spent much of his career studying the molecular and cell biology of the immune system, as well as theories about its evolution. Dr. Ewart received his PhD from the University of Georgia in 1976, and as a microbiologist, he operated a research laboratory at the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia for almost 20 years. The Wistar Institute, of course, is one of the world's leading centers for biomedical research. His research, which has been supported by the National Institute of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Department of Agriculture, has involved the immune system, viruses, and cellular biology. Now, before we get going here, I want to give a quick little warning to our listeners. This podcast is going to be absolutely fascinating. It's going to get into the detailed, intricate workings of the immune system, but it is going to be a little bit technical. So if you're interested in technical questions and technical answers, this is a podcast that's going to be for you. If some of this is a little bit over your head, feel no shame. We're here on ID the Future to talk about both science light and science heavy, and this is going to be a science heavy podcast. So keep listening, and I hope that you'll understand and learn a bit about the immune system from this podcast. So Dr. Ewart, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Well, the main reason that we're having Dr. Ewart on the show right now is because in a series of posts on Evolution News and Views, Dr. Ewart has recently written a response to Catherine Applegate regarding her arguments from earlier this year that the immune system provides an example of how Darwinian evolution can build biological complexity. And basically, her argument was that the random processes of the vertebrate adaptive immune system serve as an example of Darwinian mechanisms generating complex biological features. And Dr. Ewart has written an excellent response to this, which we've been posting on Evolution News and Views, and it will also be available at discovery.org. And so we wanted to have Dr. Ewart on the show today to talk to us about how the immune system works and how it does not actually, in his opinion, show an example of Darwinian evolution at work. So Dr. Ewart, could you just start off giving us a brief discussion of what is the purpose of the immune system?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. The immune system is one of the most interesting systems that has occupied a lot of my life, almost 40 years. I've been involved in one way or other studying the immune system. And of course, basically all organisms have some means of protecting themselves from agents in their environment that could potentially destroy them. The immune systems are extremely important for survival and maintaining the integrity of organisms. They range in complexity and sophistication, but they are essential for detecting and destroying potential pathogens in a constantly changing environment that most organisms find themselves in.
Can you give us a brief outline of how the immune system produces antibodies, and why do they call it the adaptive immune system?
There are two basic types of immune mechanisms, innate and adaptive. Innate immunity relies on mechanisms that exist before an infection, such as we have epithelial barriers in our skin, pathogenic cells that mop up antigens, as well as complement. These are examples of what would be considered innate mechanisms. Whereas adaptive immunity is stimulated by exposure to pathogens and is highly specific for the pathogenic agent. It involves specialized cells we call lymphocytes that have receptors on their surface that can detect macromolecules of the pathogen. When a B lymphocyte detects a pathogen via its receptor, it begins a process of development that results in the production of proteins called antibodies that attach to the pathogen, leading to its elimination. This has been called an adaptive mechanism, but in reality, the antigen receptors that are expressed during the early stages of both B and T lymphocyte development occur before a pathogen is encountered. Thus, the term anticipatory has been used to more accurately describe the fact that the large repertoire of different receptors that is produced occurs in anticipation of an antigen or pathogen even before it's encountered. However, once a pathogen is encountered, the response continues to adapt to increase the affinity of the receptor for the antigens on the pathogen. The process of production of antibodies by B lymphocytes occurs in basically two stages. The first stage occurs at the earliest stage of lymphocyte development, as stem cells that are found in the bone marrow differentiate and actually produce receptors on the surface of the B cell. A process of gene rearrangement occurs at this stage to produce the receptors of different specificities on each lymphocyte. The second stage of receptor development occurs when a mature lymphocyte detects a pathogen via its cell surface receptor and begins to proliferate. At this stage, the antigen combining site of the B-cell receptor is fine-tuned to improve its ability to bind a specific antigen by a very elegant process we call somatic hypermutation, which actually inserts point mutations in the gene that encode the antigen combining site of the antibody molecule. This somatic hypermutation alters the affinity to the combining site, and subsequent positive selection ensures that the cells only with the highest affinity receptors are allowed to live and produce plasma cells, which are the cells that secrete the antibodies, and also to produce memory B cells that are retained for the next encounter with the pathogen. So that basically, I think, sums up a very brief summary of the life and times of a B cell.
Thank you, Dr. Ewart. That is an incredible and in-depth explanation. It's very helpful. So let's talk about your recent essay that you wrote in response to the argument that the vertebrate adaptive immune system provides an example of Darwinian evolution. What was Catherine Applegate's basic argument, and how does she claim that the random processes of the vertebrate adaptive immune system illustrate how Darwinian evolution can generate complexity?
Quite briefly, I think she attempts to draw a parallel between the mechanisms of the two stages of B cell or antibody development, which I've just described. The initial stage is what we call the stage in which there's a generation of diversity of the antigen receptors, which occurs in the immature cell, and then the second stage, which involves the process of somatic hypermutation. And she characterizes these as blind and random. And the mechanisms of random mutation, which are comparable to that which formed the basis of Darwinian theory. To quote her, she says, antibody production and evolution both involve mutation and selection. Well, Catherine Applegate frames her argument more or less in theological terms, arguing that God uses natural processes and that these processes, she defines it, indeed even a blind system of generating massive amounts of diversity. Why couldn't he use the same mechanisms to create life over a long period of time? Unquote. So her argument is that these mechanisms that have incorporated what we would call untemplated changes in genetic sequences of the antibody receptor essentially could be argued to be similar processes that could have been used in the development of living organisms by a Darwinian process. That's her basic argument.
And so obviously her point is that the adaptive immune system does work to generate this diversity. Therefore, Darwinian evolution could have produced much biological complexity like what we see in life today. But obviously, Dr. Ewart, you don't agree with that argument. You think that the processes involved in our vertebrate immune system are very different from Darwinian processes, and that actually very little is left to random chance, and this is not a process of unguided mutation and then unguided selection. In fact, you argue it's an intricately controlled process at many steps that perhaps couldn't be more different than Darwinian evolution. So I'd like you to give just a brief sense for our listeners. Why do you think Catherine Applegate's arguments are wrong?
Well, when I read her article, I realized there was a much bigger story here and that quite different inferences could be drawn from these mechanisms. When the natural mechanisms that generate antibody diversity are examined as an integrated system, it becomes apparent that, unlike Darwinian evolution, they are not blind or random, but rather highly regulated to actually achieve specific purposes while maintaining the integrity of the surrounding genome. If these processes tell us anything, it's that the immune system leaves very little to blind chance, but instead is designed to allow organisms to adapt to changing environmental conditions without altering the integrity of their genome.
Well, Dr. Ewart, we're running out of time on this first podcast, so I think we're going to come back and do a second podcast with you to finish up your discussion of how the immune system generates antibodies and how those processes are different from Darwinian evolution. So thanks for this podcast. Stay tuned, folks, for more with Dr. Don Ewart on how the vertebrate adaptive immune system is unlike Darwinian evolution. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.